ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we will discuss text 1 and 2 of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. First the Sanskrit. Sanjaya uvacha tam tata kipaya vistam asupona kuleksanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudan, Krishna spoke the following word. Purport. Material compassion, lamentation and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. The word Madhusudan is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu, and now Arjuna wanted Krishna to kill the demon of misunderstanding that had overtaken him in the discharge of his duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nations cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the girl's material body. One who does not know this and laments for the outward dress is called a sudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This chapter instructs us in self-realization. By an analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul, as explained by the Supreme Authority, Lord Sri Krishna, this realization is possible only when one works without attachment to the fruitive results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Vatsa Kutastva Kasmalam Idam Vishame Samupastitam Anaryajustam Asvaryam Akirtikaram Arjuna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? You are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal and all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the local aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this conception of the Absolute Truth is explained as Vedantita Tattva Vidas Tattva Mhyachyanam Avyayam Prameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sapyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the Absolute Truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of Absolute Truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet. One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced and one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature, may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, the Bhaktas or the Transcendentalists who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the Absolute Truth are the topmost Transcendentalists, although all students who are engaged in the study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter. The sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another. And yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. This is the Supreme Personality of God that possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much attached. But no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc. entirely. Only Krishna can claim this, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva or Narayana, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Therefore it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal or above him. He is a primeval lord, or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sakshi Ananda Vishra, Anadirada Govinda, Sarvakarana Karma, Karanam, is Brahma Samhita 5.1. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because no one can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavatam also there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is described as the original Personality of Godhead, from whom many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand. Eta samskala pumsa Krishna sthiru Bhagavan svaram Indrari Vekalam Lokam Vrittayanti Yoge Yoge. All the list of the incarnation of God is submitted herewith are either plenary expanses or parts of the plenary expanses of the Supreme Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavatam 1.3.28. Therefore Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the source of both the Super Soul and the impersonal Brahman. In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsman is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the word Kuta, where from? Such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of man, known as Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan, and they are captivated by the external feature of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. Such deviation from duty does not help one to in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve the so-called compassion of Arjuna. for his kinsmen. Om Jnanatimanda Sianatimanda Sanatana Seksur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovittam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupakadamyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiyam Shiro Shiyudapadkam Lam Shikam Vaishnavamsa Sirupam Jagajatam Saganaraganatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduktam Parjana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanalita Shri Vishakam Pitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Chyat Pate Kopesha Kopra Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanashvari Vishavane Sutta Devi Panamaya Haripaya Pankha Kapra Visha Kripa Sindhubi Visha Patnam Pavanabhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadanta Shiva Sadhi Gaura Bhakta Vinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charasanti Namo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namo Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Srinivadi Bhaskacharya Sadharma Srila Prabhupada Ki So we are at the beginning of the second chapter. At the end of the last part of the first chapter, Krishna has given four reasons why he does not want to fight. His first reason was compassion. He felt compassion for his relatives and he did not want to kill them. His second reason was enjoyment. He said, even if I win, I will not be able to enjoy, because I want to enjoy with my family members. If I kill them, what enjoyment will there really be? His third reason said, we will get severe reactions for that. And his argument based on Shastra. He said, yes, after Shastra says, killing transgressors, that is good. That's what the Kshatriyas should do. But Dharma Shastra, he says, is higher. And Dharma Shastra says that killing your family, that's not good. You get severe reactions. And then give the fourth reason, and that the degradation of womanhood. The caste will be mixed as if all these ladies become widows. They will not be protected. There will be mixing of caste, and there will be Varna Sankara. He gives all these reasons that, and here in the first and in the second verse, Krishna starts answering that reason of compassion. That's the first thing he will answer. But before going in this more deeply, I would like to read some parts of the presentations of these versions of Bhai Purnachandra Maharaj and Bhai Bhurichand Prabhu. So, Purnachandra Maharaj says, now we will start chapter 2. Which is entitled with the Sanskrit term Sankhya Yoga. In the second chapter, Krishna delineates symptoms of a liberated soul, and he removes the darkness caused by lamentation and grief by first giving wisdom to discriminate between matter and spirit. Therefore, this chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. And Arjuna has given four reasons for not fighting. We just listed them. And there is one reason left, which he mentions in chapter 2. that reason what is left is indecision. We will see in a few verses. It does not know what to do, fight or not, is indecision. The first reason was compassion or relatives. Now Krishna is going to confront the first objection of Arjuna. But that will be coming from text 11 on. Yeah. That in order to dispel Arjuna's lamentation and darkness, he gives him enlightenment in the form of discrimination between matter and spirit. This is the way how Krishna relieves Arjuna from his lamentation and his false compassion for everyone. And Krishna then goes ahead for the second reason. The next section will like this, one after another. It is very systematically presented, transcribed. Yeah, it's systematically presented. So you have these four reasons for not fighting in the first chapter, and then another in the beginning of the second chapter, and then Krishna starts to defeat them one by one. And the first is compassion, and it starts in Purnasana Maharaj says from text 11 on, and that's the text asyosana vachosan svam pachyabhatam sabhasasi khatasan agatasan sa nanasyoshanti pandita, where Krishna is going to say to Arjuna, a pandit, he does not lament, not for the living nor for the dying. That because there is no living or dying for the soul, it's eternal. But he says you are like speaking like a pundit, you know it, but then lamenting comes from, yeah, mostly we lament because things are went wrong in the past. the root cause of lamentation is ignorance, identification with the body. Because what are we lamenting about? That's about the changes of the body. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who takes birth has to die. So that's sure. But for the soul, Najayate Mrityate Vakarajan, it does not take birth. It does not take birth. It does not die. It's eternal, ever existing. So by understanding our real position as a spirit soul, we understand, oh, this body, it's just a garment. It's there just for some time. So by getting transcendental knowledge, you can come out of lamentation, I can say depression. hearing is very important to come out of that situation. Constant hearing transcendental knowledge. This is first in the 4:10. Vitaraka Vayakuta Manmaya Mamu Pashita Bhavo Jana Tapasa Putamat Bhava Agata. Many great sages in the past have come freed from attachment, fear and anger by fixing their mind to me and by developing transcendental knowledge of me. And by that transcendental knowledge of me, they developed love for me and they attained transcendental love for me and they attained perfection. but by that transcendental knowledge they became purified and developed love for me. So it's by the transcendental knowledge that we come purified. Purified from what? From our misconceptions that we are this body. Because there is no use to lament for this body. This body has to go soon. Everyone makes plans for the body, but the plan is already fixed. That it's yes, it has to go. When I was in Brussels, I gave a Friday evening a class in France, in French, and at the end of my presentation, I said, yes, we are all condemned persons. A symptom being that we are condemned is that we have this body. We have acquired this body by our desires to enjoy and become the controller. But we get the opposite. There is nothing to control. That all is done by material nature. It's just ignorance that we think we are controllers. That's the illusion, and that's the cause of our suffering. But from the moment we understand we are only the observer, and we desire and everything is done by material nature, but it's by our identification with the body, our absorption in our consciousness and thinking that we are the body, that's the cause of all our suffering. And from that comes one illusion after another. You think you are the body, you think, oh, that's for my enjoyment, for my senses, that belongs to me, and I'm this body, I and mine, the world of I and mine. But there is no such a thing of I and mine. It's all an invention of the mind. You can say this is mine, and then we have to leave the body. That's the use. It's just sheer ignorance. In the first text here, Purnachandra said, just taking off from the last chapter, Arjuna put down his bow. He was overwhelmed with lamentation. So here, Sanjaya is just stating that he is covered by that compassion, and his restless eyes are full of tears. He's lamenting, and then he begins to speak to Madhusudan. Well, the Vidyabhushan mentions that the use of the word Madhusudan indicates to Dhritarashtra that the Lord would alleviate or remove Arjuna's lamentation, just as he easily killed the king Madhu. Krishna will kill the demon of Arjuna's doubt, which he expressed in the last chapter. Lord Shiva says in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that if one remembers Madhusudan amidst great difficulties, then those difficulties turn into opulences. To remember, so Arjuna is at least thinking of Madhusudan. We will see that Arjuna's great difficulty will turn into his great glory and opulence for the Pandavas. Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport the word Madhusudan is very insignificant in this verse. It is the charge of his duty. Here we see Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary echoed by Srila Prabhupada in his commentary. Srila Prabhupada practically in his purport. What he does is just repeating the words of the previous acharyas. Sometimes he makes commentaries according to time, place, and circumstances. But it's really all authority that I've seen that when I studied the whole Bhaktivedanta and Bhaktivedanta, and I'm going now back to this purpose of Bhagavad Gita. I see all these verses is paraphrasing, and he does not mention them all the time. He does not make all these references, but it's just very based on authority of Krishna's words on the Bhagavatam, on the commentaries of previous acharyas. Mm-hmm. Text 2, the Purnachandra Maharaj. He says, here it is the first time it's mentioned Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Interesting. In the first chapter you will not find Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is the first time that Krishna is called Bhagavan. Krishna is not just some prince from Dvarka, he is Bhagavan. And Prabhupada's commentary is devoted to this point. You see, he will quote Vedanti Tattva Vidas. There are three aspects of the Absolute Truth, and the highest is Bhagavan. He mentions in the third paragraph the Sanskrit word Bhagavan, and he mentions six opulences explained by Parasara Muni, who was Vyasadeva in his last life. Now, he is the father of Vyasadeva. Every yuga, there is another person who takes the role of Vyas. The role of Vyas. So Vyas is a Shakti Avesa avatar. Rupa Goswami has described that there are jivas who are empowered. Avesha, Shakti, Avesha. Shakti Avesha. They are invested with certain potency. So Jiva Goswami is also explaining the word Bhagavan in his Bhagavat Sandarpa. He mentioned that the word Bhagavan, Bhaga, means opulences, can be denoted from the word Bha, which can be extracted from the word Bharta, which means maintainer. Lord Krishna says, I am the goal, the maintainer, the witness, the abode, and most dear friend. The Lord maintains the living entities through light, sunshine, fresh air, water, and vegetable fruits, and etc. He also maintains them by giving himself to them, by his pastimes, and by sending his devotees to them to spread love of God, and coming in the form of various shastras, deities, and holy places. He's coming and maintaining the living entities on the spiritual platform also, not just on the material platform. Then Jiva Goswami explains the syllable Ba or Bhag as the Lord giving transcendental qualities, divine qualities to his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12 Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinshana Saver Kunastatra Samasta Sura Rav Bhakta Syakuta Madkuna Manoratanasti Davatobai. All the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of God at Vasudev. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaging material activities has no good quality, even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family. In relative, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good quality to such a man? And he gives them also the second aspect, prema bhakti, not only good qualities. Then there is a third aspect, he brings them to his own planet. So other than having opulences, Krishna likes to share those opulences with his devotees, give them good qualities, and give the prema. And then feeling separation from his devotees, he brings them to his own planet. Perhaps a further endearing quality of the Lord and another definition of the word Bhagavan. Prasarmuni has given us the basic meaning and Jiva Goswami gave us a further meaning. Then it is mentioned in Sri Upanishad text 16, Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Sandarbhas in his commentary. So Krishna says, Kutaha. Where does impurities come from, Arjuna? But you are the son of Indradev, and you are in the royal dynasty of Pandu. All your predecessors were great fearless warriors, emperors on the earth, and you have been trained by Drona. You have been given weapons by the Devas. You have been blessed by Indra. And you have so many blessings, and the blessings of so many persons. And all your brothers are depending on you. They were tolerating the exile for 14 years. And we are all depending on you. So come with your Gandiva ball and destroy the army. And now you are on your chariot, crying like a child. Are you not going to fight? Hey, what is this? Kutaha, where did this come from? And especially now Vishami Samupasitam, all the kings have come from all over the earth planet to fight this battle for which we are waiting for 14 years. Your brother Bhima is searching with anger. Milk is coming out of his ears, dying to kill the Kauravas. And now you are going to sit down and just forget about everything, giving up the fight, going to the forest and sit like a rishi. Arjun, what is wrong with you? This is Anarya Justam. This is a man of great high qualities. The word Anarya Justam implies that your actions will not be appreciated by the noble or respectful persons. Why are you doing this? Arjuna, your action will not bring you the svarga, and neither will it bring you kirti. It's a cause of infamy, Arjuna. Your action will not bring you the svarga, neither will it bring it to you kirti. It is a cause of infamy. Hey Arjuna, I think this is not a good decision. So immediately Krishna gets on his case. Is Bhagavan, and Arjuna is his eternal devotee. So now Krishna continues in text 3 chastising Arjuna. So Bhujan Prabhu gives similar comments. He says, now in the second text Krishna begins to speak. Where is this sinfulness coming from? You have so many good arguments. But where is this sin, this dirtiness coming from? Anarya. They are not befitting one with an Arya, Justam Ashvaryam. They are not befitting someone who is planning to go to Svarga. The heavenly planets, they are Ashvaryam. Your future is going to be destroyed by your speaking if you desire like this, Akirti Karam Arjuna. And this will bring you Akirti, infamy. Your future Ashvarya. No heaven for you, and in the present infamy will be the result of the type of way you are thinking right now. They do not befit one who knows the value of life. They do not lead to higher plans but to infamy. Krishna does not approve Arjuna's compassion. So there are a few aspects here, important points. Of course, just from the viewpoint that he's a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya has to give his life in the fight. That's just the code of a Kshatriya. And Pranachana Maharaj makes a point here. Because after the battle, they are the Kauravas, but also the Pandavas. They went to visit so many kings to invite them to take part in the battle. And like he points out, they were 14 years in exile. and Bhima's blood was cooking. He was waiting for 14 years for this. So this was the big day of the battle, which they could not avoid. And now Arjuna is going to say, no, I'm not going to fight. He puts down his bow, and thus, because Sanjay is speaking to Dhritarashtra must think, oh, very good. He's not going to fight, so we are going to have an easy time to defeat the Pandavas. That's very helpful. But here, of course, he hears now from Sanjaya that Krishna does not agree, that Krishna stands to chastise him. Because Arjuna, his eyes are full of lamentation. Lamentation, that means ignorance. It's ignorance of our real nature, the spirit soul. This ignorance of identifying with the body can only be solved by absorption in transcendental knowledge. To get someone out of lamentation, one must understand one's real self. One must understand one's real self and how to act as the real self. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. How to act according to our real self. How to act as a spirit soul, which we are, an eternal spirit soul. We must act and consider our eternal nature. And we feel all that we are eternal. Just the fact we are many years in this body, and we know the body is changing, but we know inside we are the same person. We know that although the body is changing, that's the outer dress, we feel that we are the same person, not that we have become another person, that we are the same I. The mind may change also, and our conception of life and so on, but we feel inside we are the same person. The person does not change. We are individuals. When we visited the farm, the woods who were taking care of the cows, they have their name. And they have a certain character. They are individuals. They have a certain character. That's this individuality, even with animals, is there very clearly. Of course, as human beings, we have created a false individuality, and thus imposed in our consciousness through the mind, and thus based on all our experience in our life. By this experience, we are constructing a certain concept of life with likes and dislikes. But that's based on experience. By experience we construct that. But the experience is a bodily experience. Because everything we have done in our lives was on the bodily concept. That's the whole thing is being constructed on that false bodily concept. But from the moment you start to act as a spirit soul, and that's what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, act in one's constitutional position as a spirit soul. That means acting in the consciousness that I'm not this body, I'm a spirit living entity, I'm eternal, and good and bad applies to the body, not to the spirit soul. Spirit soul is always transcendent, always good, transcendental good. But for the body there is good and bad. So the first thing Krishna explains is you have to act without this, considering this good and bad of the body. This failure or success, good and bad as well. You don't have to consider that. You consider just I'm an eternal spirit soul, and the aim of my life is to please Krishna. And this good and bad of the body is just a temporary thing. I received this body to enjoy, but I understand now it's wrong. That's the cause of my entanglement. From the moment you say I want to enjoy, you are into the material energy. But then the Bhagavad Gita goes very deep in that and says, yes, but this false construction is there, and that's going with us for millions of births. That's very deep rooted. Cannot just say I'm going to act according to against my nature, because we have acquired a nature in a material nature in the three modes, and we have constructed that through our past pious or impious activities. We get this by our karma. We get a certain body and certain capabilities. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you have to act according to your nature. So Arjuna is a Kshatriya. Even up to the 18th chapter, Krishna will say that even if you decide not to fight, still you will fight because it's your nature as a Kshatriya. You will fight anyway. So we have a psycho-physical nature acquired to these modes, and this conception of identifying with the body is deep-rooted. But we have to uproot that conception, and that's a gradual process to get rid of this tendency for enjoyment and give it up. To identify with the body, with the soul, I mean, identify with the soul, give up the misidentification with the body, and start acting only for the pleasure of Krishna. That purity comes gradually by performing devotional service. Performing devotional service is the activity of the soul. But because we are attached, we cannot give up the attachment to enjoyment. Still, we have the desire inside coming from the soul. I want to surrender to Krishna and to give it all up, to give it all up. Stop this nonsense. But we cannot do it, because our mind is dragging ourselves down again to sense gratification again and again and again and again. So therefore Krishna will explain in the third chapter, he will also tell that to Arjuna, is that your adhikar is to fight, to perform work. That, and everyone in that situation, that's our adhikar, we have to perform work. But that work, if it's done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, then it's going to purify us from that. By working as a sacrifice for Krishna, doing our work, everything we do for Krishna, then we may still be attached to the results and want the fruits, and Krishna will fulfill that desire, but take it gradually away, the desire, at the same time. That, and only Krishna can do that. Only devotional service can do that. That's what the other yogas cannot do. Other yogas, they can take away your reactions of your past misdeeds, but does not change your desire, does not take it away. That's a gradual process, but it's by acting in Krishna consciousness that one becomes purified. Purified means one becomes ready to understand that this engagement for sense gratification, that's it's just a waste of time. And because one realizes it's frustration over frustration, it never works out, and it's very temporary. You get older, you see relationships 30 years ago, everything is gone. Like, it's all gone, it's all temporary. That's also countries and these conceptions, it's all temporary. That 2 years ago I was in Crimea, Ukraine festival, finished. No Crimea, Ukraine festival anymore. It's Russia now, but political borders change, it's changing constantly, the whole thing. That all temporary. Krishna says about the material worlds that dukkalayam asaswatam, full of misery and temporary. That from the highest to the lowest planet. That therefore, in the second chapter, Krishna will say further that Krishna will ask about the symptoms of one who is on the platform of the soul. How can I recognize a person, such a person? Krishna says, Prajato yatam kraman sarvapurtam sarvapartam anugatam. It's a devotee, someone who has given up the tendency for sense gratification, because this desire, he's giving up these desires, because the desires are just an invention of the mind, and one who is a sthita prajna, he is giving that up, that, because he finds satisfaction in the self, that dukes anutvich nama sukas yuvigatashvaya vitraik vayakata. Says, one who is on that transcendental platform, when it's not disturbed when misery comes, and is not happy when sense gratification comes, is free from attachment, fear, and anger. So, if sense gratification comes, the devotee, before accepting it, he thinks. If I accept this, will this disturb my devotional service? If the happiness will disturb his devotional service, he does not accept it. it does not accept the so-called sense gratification. So that's Stita Deha Muni, but one who is conditioned, he cannot refuse that. It's too strong, the attachment to the sense gratification. But when one becomes attached to Krishna, it becomes easy. And then you come out of the forest of delusion, Krishna said, out of the forest of delusion. You are not interested anymore in all the things in this world. People in this world are going into so many issues. When one develops in Krishna consciousness, then he thinks, this issue is not related to my service to Krishna. Otherwise, if that's not related to my service to Krishna, forget it. We are not even discussing it. Forget it. No interest. So that's coming out of the forest of delusion, not going in all the issues of this world. It's all temporary, unless there is some connection with the devotional service. Why should we speak about it? Just the croaking of a frog inviting the birds or the serpent to find him and that's a stupid frog. Arjuna's compassion, Krishna does not approve it. Because his compassion is related with sense enjoyment and I in mind. That's what it is. Why does he have compassion? Because he's attached to the situation how it is now. And he does not want to have the situation to change. I want to keep it as it now is in the relationships I know now. I don't want to change it. But it will change anyway. That's material nature. It will all change. It's a very temporary consideration. It's illusion. Everything changed. Soon we have to go. You told me a few minutes ago, we are already nearly in the middle of the year. It's like flying, like anything. How temporary it is. That all our past experiences, things did not work out, and we lament about this. But what's the use? Lamenting about something which will soon not be there anymore. We will not be there anymore. It will all be gone. So that's the body concept of life. But the devotee is going towards the spiritual reality. That is, we are in the wrong place. We have to get out of here, out of this consciousness of I and mine. And instead of I and mine, this means I am a servant of Krishna. Am I engaging in that relationship with Krishna, of service? And that is a real relationship. That is real relationship. Relationship with all the people in this world are illusory. Because they are there for a few years. And then they are gone. It's completely illusory. It is not important. That from a transcendental position, it's really not important, all these relationships. It deviates us from our real goal, connecting again with Krishna, going back to the spiritual world. that it's a mistake to think this is very important. That of course, on the Bodhi concept of life, we have our material Svadharma. Externally, we have to act and do our duty, according our duty to our nation, our duty to our job, to our family. But internally, we should not take that serious. That's not the real thing. The real thing is how we engage in our activities in relation to Krishna. That will purify us. If we become purified, then there is no lamentation anymore. What's there to lament? Soon, we have to leave it all behind. But if we learn this art of Krishna consciousness, then between devotees we can have wonderful relationships, deep relationships, in which we experience this love for Krishna through our actions. Therefore, Krishna does not approve Arjuna's compassion. Of course, that can be seen on different levels. It can be seen on the level of karma kanda. A kshatriya fight to go, and he desires to go to the heavenly planets. That's karma kanda. One wants the fruits of one activities and enjoy more, even more on the heavenly planets, because kshatriya is in the mode of passion. So not all kshatriyas were on the transcendental platform. They were fighting to get more enjoyment on the heavenly planets. Of course, Krishna uses the word anarya. Anarya means, it says to Arjuna, you are not an Aryan. An Aryan is one who knows the values of life. An Aryan knows that he's not a body, but the spirit soul, and that the spirit soul cannot be killed. He has Vedic wisdom. He knows that. And the Kshatriya is supposed to be second initiated, to be a Dvija. The Kshatriyas, the Brahmins and the Vaishyas, they get Brahman initiation, the Sudras not. That, because they don't have the quality of a Brahman. Sometimes devotees, they are aspiring for Brahman initiation, but do we have the nature of a Brahman? And that, they make the point, you need to have Bhakti Shastra certificate to get second initiation, but that's a part of the point, that a Brahman must have knowledge and must be able to explain. That's a part, but the nature of a Brahman is, yes, thus you get up early in the morning and you have that, this is your lifestyle, to be in goodness. Early in the morning, before you take prasad, you take a shower, cleanliness of a Brahman, always truthful, peaceful, not agitated, not easily agitated. That wisdom, that these are high qualities. So do we have the nature? That nature. If one does not have that nature, why should one receive Brahman initiation? It's not necessary. You don't need to be a Brahman to go back to Godhead. No. No, just we follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And when you become purified, you go above the Brahman. But it depends on our nature. But the pulse of Krishna consciousness is so strong that in due course of time we will become purified and all this knowledge will be revealed within the heart. And one can transcend gradually the modes of nature and go beyond the liberated platform. Brahma means the Brahma Buddha platform, the spiritual platform. And the Brahman has no knowledge of that. A Kshatriya also has knowledge of that. This gets also second initiation. We have seen Hiranyakashipu was a Kshatriya, a big demon, but he had spiritual knowledge. Of course, he was Jai from the spiritual world, but he had spiritual knowledge. Because even when his brother Hiranyaksham was killed by Varadev, the queens of Hiranyaksha were lamenting, and he was consoling them by giving them transcendental knowledge. Told them, "You are not a body, you are a spirit soul. Why should you lament for all these temporary things?" And he was a big demon. That's very interesting. So Kshatriyas, Aryans. Arya means one who knows the values of life. But Arya knows I'm not this body. That he knows things as they are. And therefore, Krishna was upset with Arjuna. Of course, he influenced him with Yoga Maya to bring up these doubts so that he can speak Bhagavad Gita. But from a material point of view, Arjuna is a good person. From a spiritual point of view, he's bewildered. And that's always the problem we have with this world. We are thinking in one way, and we are thinking on a platform that of the our really identity of spirit soul, and others are thinking are completely immersed in bodily consciousness, they are just fire and water. It's not going together. Lifestyles become completely different. Interests become completely different. Many devotees, when they became devotees, they told, all my other books, I throw them out. I have only these of Srila Prabhupada. All other things out. It's just... You lose your interest for all these temporary things. All your previous interests and hobbies, and it's all gone. Because you see it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Of course, if we have qualities and talents, we will use them in Krishna service. But people are so overwhelmed. 94, I was in Ghent, in the Namhata, and I lived there for a few months, for some time. I was staying in a room with Bhakta Paul, and we were getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was the summer, and we were in the middle of the city. So 4 o'clock in the morning, we pushed up, opened the window, and on the other side, there was a nightclub. And there, at 4 o'clock in the morning, they opened the door. We opened the windows, they opened the door. They opened the door, and what came out of the door first was a lot of smoke. And then you could see people coming out, not walking very straight. For them, their day ended. For us, it was the beginning of our day. So that's day and night. And it's in many, many things like that, day and night, that, anyway, that Jung's compassion was based on ignorance, and dispelling this ignorance, that's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. So, thank you very much.